Scripture reading will be from 1 Peter. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll be reading from 9 through 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of his visitation.
Well, I'm so glad that you're able to be with us this morning as we engage in our worship, in our service to God, which is our spiritual service to him. Brother Tom has read in our hearing four verses from 1 Peter, the second chapter, wherein we are told that Christians are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, and we are God's own special people. So, no finer way for us to begin our thoughts this morning than to say, who are Christians? Well, we belong to God. We are God's own special people. And in view of the fact that that is true, that's the way you ought to think of yourself if you are a Christian. I am God's own special people. I belong to God. In view of the fact that that is true, we immediately recognize, acknowledge that there are great and many, I was going to say innumerable, and that's all right if you want to think of it in that way. There are many great privileges and blessings that are exclusively ours. They belong to these who are the people of God. Well, maybe though, as we think along that line, we might not realize, well, God does the choosing. God does the choosing. Why is it that some people never become the people of God? Well, for whatever reason it may be, for whatever excuse that individual may give, for never initially being obedient to the gospel, whether they say I'm something else religiously or I'm just not interested, whatever it may be, why is it that God chooses some people and he does not choose others to be his special people? And of course, in so saying, we do not mean by that that man does not have a choice. Man certainly has a choice. Who is acceptable to God? So the question this morning then really comes down to this. What do you have to be? What do you have to do? What has to characterize your life in order for you to be among these special people of God? Well, I only have two or three things to mention. First of all, you have to be a worshiping people. You have to be a worshiping people. That's brought out in our text here. In verse 9, he says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is the purpose? What does God see as the purpose in our being called out of this great, great darkness into his marvelous light? That you will sing his praises. That you will proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His light. Well, of course, that's what we're doing this morning. If our worship has been acceptable to God at all, it has been on the basis of our worshiping Him as He has so directed. We call on a brother to lead us in prayer. And with whatever human imperfections there may be, that brother, of course, does praise God. And as he leads our thinking, so each of us engage in that. Our songs, why do we sing? Well, not just because we say, you know, that's going to make us feel good. That's going to make us feel happy. We sing because God tells us to. We partook of the Lord's Supper not because that is some kind of human church or ordinance, not because some men got together and said, you know, we ought to have the fruit of the vine on the table and the unleavened bread. This is a divine ordinance. It's something that is commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that can be and should be full of meaning to every one of these special people who are worshiping God. Look over with me, please, to the opening verses of Psalm 66. Psalm 66. What does it mean to worship God? The psalmist says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Do you realize how privileged we are? You realize how privileged you were this morning to be able to arise in reasonable health, have your reasoning power to determine, well, this is a day in which I am going to worship the Almighty God. And so you made preparations, and so you have gathered this morning. What is that? Why do you do that? Well, because that's what God wants you to do. When we talk about a people that is acceptable to God, without a shadow of a doubt, we say, people who want to worship God. Oh, we so frequently, I think, will quote Jesus' discussion with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and we very rightly so talk about the ingredients of what makes up acceptable worship, that it must be in spirit, that is, from our whole being. It's not talking about doing things mechanically. Habitually, it is talking about the fact that the whole being of man, the whole spirit of man, is engaged in that worship. He's not thinking about anything else. He's not contemplating anything else that he will do today or that he's done in the past. To worship him in spirit and to worship him in truth. And that truth always is not established by man, but it is dictated by God. Now, having said that, that's verse 24 of John chapter 4. But now, think for a moment on verse 23. Jesus says to this Samaritan woman, but the hour is coming, and now is. That hour has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And have you noticed that last phrase? For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Does God want people to worship Him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does God want people to worship Him just any way that they see fit? No. No. God sets forth the terms. But the truth of the matter is that all those who worship Him will be those who are acceptable to Him. Those who are the special people of God. It is not out of the way to say that the joys of heaven, what will you be doing in heaven? The joys of heaven. Well, it's going to consist in worshiping God. I think as you read those wonderful closing verses in Revelation 21 and 22, you're going to see there will be no temple there. But God and the Lamb, His Son, will be the temple thereof. And we will serve Him night and day. We just get a little taste of that when we read the earlier chapters in the book of Revelation, where we are informed that the angels and all creatures that are in heaven worship and praise Him. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, John says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" To praise God. I don't know whether you have noticed yet, I've left out a word about this matter of worshiping God. It's that word, love. Do you love to worship God? So far this morning, have you loved what you were doing? You say, "I'm here because my parents sent me." Not a very good reason, is it? Probably the poorest reason of all. If you're here because somebody sent you, do you know what will happen when nobody is there to send you? You say, "Forget that. Forget that." Worship what? Worship is a burdensome thing. Worship is a duty. Worship is something I was forced to do. I have to tell you, dear friends, there is nobody that is acceptable to God as His special people if you're worshiping because you're forced to do it. Are you engaging in worship this morning because that's what you love to do? Because, oh, you you realize the worthiness of the God that you worship, and you sing forth His praises, His excellencies. You just can't be God's people unless you love to worship Him. Well, who else is acceptable to God? A special people. A special people. That is, of course, what is said here. Some of the translations there in our text in verses 9 and 10 will talk about these special people in this way. It will say, a people for God's own possession. Christians are God's own possession. Christians are God's treasure. We belong to God. We are a purchased people. The Bible talks about it in that way. If you look over, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, you're told that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is said to all Christians. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And then he says, you're not your own. You're not your own. I wish that all of us could have that lesson impressed upon us. You really are not your own person. Why not? For you were bought at a price. Do you know what that price is? Suppose one of your friends at school or at work were to ask you, why are you different? Why are you different? Could you answer and say, well, because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we can and should amplify this. If you will now turn back to nearly where we were in 1 Peter, and we notice that to be acceptable to God, we are to be a holy people. We are to be sanctified. And this is the way this is stated in the first chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 14. This is what we read. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed. Now, we've been bought with a price, haven't we? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Those are pretty precious. Those are pretty precious. You know, when a slave was redeemed, he was bought with money. He was bought with money. We have been slaves in our previous life to sin. But now, we've been purchased. But not with silver and gold. But he says, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you know what Christians know? They know that Jesus really, really died on the cross. You can't be God's special people and not know that and not to believe it. People that question that, they're not God's own people. They can't be. What did he do on the cross? He purchased us. Not with silver and gold, but with his own blood, far above the value of silver and gold. The ones God accepts are pure. I want to be a Christian, but I want to continue in sin. It won't work. Well, but all of my friends are doing that. I don't care. It won't work. So he goes ahead. Brother Tom had read for us verses 11 and 12 in 1 Peter 2. As Peter talks about us being God's special people, he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Do you know what fleshly lusts are? Well, if you're alive, you do. If you come to that age of accountability, you know what fleshly lusts are. You know all about it. You don't have to point the finger at somebody else. You can just look at yourself. You can look at how Satan attacks you. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. When they speak against you as an evildoer, are your friends going to make fun of you because you don't do drugs? Because you don't smoke? Because you don't drink? Because you don't curse? Yeah, they're going to say, "Goody two shoes." Something like, do they still say that? I don't know what your friends are saying nowadays. But it's still the idea of making fun of you, isn't it? If you're weak, you're going to give in. But God's word is still here. Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And while the Gentiles, they speak against you, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You may be the means of saving your friends. You may. That's another characteristic of those who are acceptable to God. They're different. God's people are different. If you want to be the people of God, if you want to say, "I am God's own possession, I am a special people," hey, you've got to be different. It calls for courage, doesn't it? It calls for determination. It calls for an individual giving a lot of thought to those he's associating with and what he determines to be. God's special people are people that are bound for heaven. Scripture says here that we are to regard ourselves as sojourners and pilgrims. You know, we've got some fine examples before us in those that have lived before us. Hebrews chapter 11 is just completely full of these heroes of faith. And we're told why Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and others were just exactly the way they were. Do you want to read about how they thought about this old world? Look at verse 13 of Hebrews 11, and let's read through 16. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Who are you if you are God's people? Well, you're a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth. You're not attached to this world at all, though you're living in the world and you have to do all of the things that are necessary in order to sustain life. But this old world is not your hope. Strangers and pilgrims, our mind is set on heaven. There's one thought still along that line that I find one of the most joyful promises of all in Scripture. Oh, I don't know what all is going to happen when I die. I don't know what all is going to happen when the Lord comes again. But I know it's going to be wonderful. I read about it in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And this is the way it is stated. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Is that what you are? Children of God? Do you think of yourself that way? Whenever somebody asks you, "Who are you?" "What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed," this is our Lord, "we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." I'm just a pure old human. So many, many things I do not know. So many imperfections. What marvelous love God has bestowed upon those who are the children of God. I'm going to put off this flesh one of these days. I don't know when. But when I see the Lord, even though it has not yet appeared, what I'll be like, when I see the Lord, I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to be like Him. Now, I can't answer for all of you that are here. That may just seem like a total pipe dream to you. And something that is so unreal that you say, I don't even think about that. I cannot think of a greater way in which God can bestow His love than the fact that we will be like Christ. Are you one of God's people? Are you one of God's people? Have you confessed the name of Christ before men? Have you turned from the sins of your previous life? Have you been immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? I told you that I received an email this morning, a man castigating the idea of baptism for the remission of sins. If you can read your Bible, you know what baptism is for. Has God chosen you or one of His special people? Don't put it off. Obey Him. Be a stranger and pilgrim here on earth. Won't you stand and sing with me?